I'm not good with titles for messages, things like that, but we'll be looking at patience and persevering and enduring difficult times, suffering and affliction. And as I was studying this week, God just put such a tremendous burden on my heart. We all know what's going on over in the Middle East, and we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are over there now that are having to endure tremendous amounts of suffering and affliction, and families are being changed forever, lives are being changed forever. We may see the ramifications of what's going on over there for years to come. But it was just such a, with what we'll be reading about, studying about today, our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through things that we probably have never seen or experienced before. And so I just encourage all of us to lift them up in prayer. God just put such a tremendous burden on my life for them. So let's remember them in prayer. Okay, we'll start reading chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And it reads, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently, for until it receives the early and latter rain, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And did we count them blessed who endure? You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. So, I don't think any of us find it pleasant when we have to endure times of struggling, affliction. Even you can reference waiting upon God for God's will to take place in our lives. There has to be an element of enduring for that as well. And so the question that came in my mind is this our lot in life? Is it our lot in life to have to endure affliction, unpleasant times, waiting upon God? And in Romans 12, I'll just quickly refer to that. We all know this verse very well. In Romans 12, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God." And so, if we're children of the kingdom of light, we're fighting the kingdom of darkness, Satan's empire, Satan's kingdom. And so, we will be in conflict with that. The fact is, we're born into the flesh, and we're born into a sinful world. So, if we are going to be children of light, children of God's kingdom, there will be difficult times in our lives. And we'll look at how we respond to that, how should we respond to things like that. But it is going to be a part of our lives. That's the reality of it. I don't want to make this about a doom and gloom type message. That's not what it's about. But it is the reality that we will struggle in our lives, whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally, or even just waiting upon God. We have to endure things while we wait upon God and His timing. In the Greek, to get a little philosophical with all of you here, in the Greek, it came up with two terms for the word patience, and that's what we want to look at today. And forgive me because I will butcher these names. The first one we want to look at is called markathumia, and it's more about waiting upon people, being patient with people, and upon God. If we're putting relationships in that, then God definitely does fall into that. And I want to just read again verses 7 through 8, and it reads, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmers wait for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And I love that the story or the analogy that James gives there, because it is so true. A farmer, he has to plant his seeds, and he must wait in order for the harvest to take to come to bear. But we can all apply that into our lives today. The seeds that we plant today, spiritually, we may not see the results for 10, 20, 30 years in our lives. Same thing with people. We can take that also with people. I like to, when it talks about waiting upon God and waiting upon things to come to bear fruit, I like to refer my kids in this. For any of you that have children, you know it can be very stressful. For sure, when you have a young one, you're up every, 2-3 hours, you're feeding, you lose sleep, and as they grow older, they challenge you on the principles you're trying to teach them. It can be stressful. It can be hard. In fact, I had to think of, you know, on the way home from vacation this summer, spending 2 wonderful weeks together as a family, but yet the heights that the fighting and the bickering in the van reached all-time highs on the way home. And on the way home from Cincinnati, we were going through Cincinnati, I just at one point just started kind of taking my hand and just whacking behind me and just, if you hit something, you hit something. That is not good parenting. But on this earth, those boys, my family, are the most precious thing to me in this world and bring me very tremendous amounts of fulfillment. But the things that we're teaching them now, biblical principles and values that we have, we may not see the fruit of that for 10, 20, 30 years. But we must be patient. And it's in verse 8, it says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So we're to wait for God's return, for that ultimate prize, that reward of his, the crown of life. Is it easy? It is not easy. For sure, when we struggle against things in this world, when we have to endure affliction, and I'll talk about, you know, just about timing, waiting upon God's will for our lives, and that's a very difficult one for me, at least. Do we wait upon God to give us clear direction, for the Holy Spirit to speak in your life? I know that many times in my life I did not. And at times, you know, we can actually make a decision and it's not necessarily the wrong way to go. Maybe it was the door that God intended you to go, but was it his timing? Was it when he wanted you to go? And I found I've done that in my life, at least. I didn't necessarily do the wrong thing, but it was not on God's timing. So the things I had to go through and endure, the hardships, were great, were tremendous, because I did not wait upon God. When we do things according to God's will, we wait upon him, things just flow, because he opens the way for us. A man once told me, he said, he's seen that God's timing, he's never late, he's never early, he's always right on time, but it's his timing, it's not ours. An example I want to talk about is Abraham. He's one of my most favorite guy, men to study in the Bible. A tremendous man of God. A man, he was flesh just like any of us, but yet he was very close with God. Had a very intimate relationship with God, but he also made many mistakes. And the one that I want to bring out is, and I'm not going to go into scripture for the sake of time, but God told Abraham, he gave Abraham's inheritance, the land of Canaan, but also he talked about his descendants, that they will be as numerous as the stars, and they'll make a great nation will come from Abraham. And from the time God spoke about that until the time Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. There was a 25-year gap in between that time. How many of us would remain steadfast in our love and our faithfulness in God for 25 years of nothing happening? And so Abraham did what I have done, I'm sure what we have all done, and he decided, well, I'll bring about God's will in my own way. He said this would happen. Well, I'm not seeing anything come to bear. There's silence. I'll just do it on my own. And we know the story. He had Ishmael with Hagar. Isaac comes to bear, comes and God, they send Hagar and Ishmael away. So that's a great example of not waiting upon God, about us bringing upon the will, doing it on our own. And look at the ramifications of that, of him not waiting upon God, of not being impatient. A great example is what's going on right now in the Middle East. You have descendants of Ishmael, you have descendants of Isaac in conflict with each other right now. Now, We're not here to put blame on Abraham, because he was man, he was flesh, as are we. But that's just one example of a man of God sinning, not waiting upon God, and putting things into his own hands and doing it himself. It's a great example. The second form of patience that we want to look at is the Greek term is called hupomone, I believe. And it has more to do with patience and enduring affliction and suffering, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual. And James also gives us a great example of that. And let's read in verses 10 through 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, who have heard of the perseverance. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. So that's a great example of a man enduring tremendous amounts of hardships. And we know the story. He loses his children. He loses all of his possessions. And in the end, he's also afflicted with boils, so terrible that all he can do is sit and scratch himself. But then at the end of that verse, it says, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Well, is that our attitude? Is that how we view God when we do struggle tremendously in our lives? Is that how we see God when we, maybe it's just simply waiting. Maybe you've been called into the ministry or you believe the Holy Spirit has clearly told you to go in a certain direction, but yet nothing happens. Do we see God in that way, compassionate and merciful? What are the opposites of patience? Anger, frustration, and stress. Perhaps that's why they put in verse 9, it says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, unless you be condemned. Behold, a judge is standing at the door. And that is, I believe, often what happens, at least in my own life, is when I become impatient, those tendencies are brought out in me. Why is it vital? Why is it important that we wait upon God for both his timing, but also that we endure? That we endure affliction of any kind, suffering of any kind. And is God compassionate and merciful? Isaiah 48:10. It says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Being tested, being refined, it means being transformed. So a great example of it, he does say, he talks about silver. Let's talk about gold. In order for that to be transformed into something beautiful, jewelry, if you will, it has to be refined. It has to go through a time of just being brought into another condition, something better, something more beautiful. But the transformation part isn't necessarily pleasant. And we all know the story about the potter molding the pottery into something. The mud has to be molded, pounded, shaped into something, and then it has to go into what? A furnace. Just like Isaiah says, the furnace of affliction, it has to go into a furnace in order for it to come out as something useful, something that we can use. Is it that much different in our own lives? We must be refined. We must be transformed into something, someone that God can use. Now, I want to make it very clear that it is only through a relationship, through Jesus Christ, that we draw closer to him and that we're able to allow him to work through us. But in your own life, when have you grown the most? Spiritually, maybe it's physically in some cases. It's usually when you're going through difficult times. It's usually when we reach the end of ourselves, when we're broken, when we're humble. And why does God need us to endure through those times? it's so when we see our children go through difficult times, it's a way of growing. It's a way of them to growing, whether it's spiritually and in other ways, but they need to grow. They need to go through those difficult situations in order to grow in their lives. It's the same thing for us. God needs to see, can they use this time of suffering to grow, to learn, to trust me, that I am there, I am present. The more he can trust us, the more he can use us. And that's our entire, that's our job, if you will, as believers in Christ, to bear the burdens that God puts on our lives and allow him to work through us to fulfill those burdens, whether it's for ourselves or other people. We need to be vessels for him. But he is also searching for children that he can use, that he can trust, that he can trust with more. And it's so that we can become more effective in our prayer and in our ministry. I like to use the example. I'm not condoning warfare in any way, but I like to use the example of the Navy SEALs. They're one of our most elite fighting forces in the Army, or in our units that we have. But the reason I bring them out is simply the training that these men go through, the affliction that these men go through is tremendous in order to become a Navy SEAL, in order to get that kind of that crown, if you will, and be certified as a Navy SEAL. They must go through tremendous amounts of mental suffering. They're at times held to just 1 hour of sleep a day during training, all the while they're being pushed physically to the breaking point. Why? It's because the instructors want to see how dedicated are they to their mission, to their purpose, to their calling, if you will. Will they go through all obstacles to be beside their fellow Navy SEAL, their fellow brother, if you will? How committed are they? And I can guarantee you the men that graduate the class, it takes a few years, are not the same people they were when they graduated to when they started. They had to be molded, they had to be transformed into something completely different in order to be useful for that specific purpose. And we can also apply that to our lives today. Allowing God to transform us into children, people that he can use, so that we can be effective in our ministry and effective in prayer. That's our whole point, our whole purpose in life, to be effective in ministry. There's probably very few people, men and women of God that I know, that would say that, oh, it's been very easy for them. Their relationship with God, the intimate relationship they have with God and the Holy Spirit, very few of them would say, oh, it's just been a walk in the park. Life has just been a breeze for me. They all have faced obstacles in life. They have all gone through suffering and through affliction. They have had to wait upon God. It usually takes difficulties in order for us to draw closer at times with God and to be molded and shaped into something he can use. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 10. And Paul says, "And lest I shall be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I believe that's such a powerful few verses there that we can apply to our lives. Here we have Paul asking God, take this from me. He describes it as a thorn, but take this difficult circumstance I'm going through, take it from me. And God's reply is no. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So in our weakness, that is when God's strength is shown. That's when God's strength is made perfect, the Bible says. And so what does Paul do? He says, well, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs, persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And then he says, for when I am weak, I'm made strong. So it's only through the power of Jesus Christ. And how does God work with us? I know that in my life, when I'm broken, when I'm humble, when I'm at times desperate for God, he's able to work in my life the most. James 4, I believe it says, God, he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. God cannot work with arrogance, he can't work with pride, he can't work with selfishness, but he can work with brokenness. He can work when we are weak and when we recognize that the power of Jesus Christ is the only way that we can be transformed, that we can live, that we can be effective. And so in closing, I go back to, there's many verses that we can go into, but is God compassionate? Is he merciful? And in Lamentations 3:25 through 27, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And in closing, like I said, there's many more verses that we can go into, but going back to what it says in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, and in James 1, it talks about, I'll just quickly turn to it, it talks about, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its work, perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we are to rejoice in our infirmities. We are to rejoice when we're suffering. We're to rejoice as we endure waiting upon God. And we have examples. We have people, men that have lived this out. So we can't say that it's only been, well, it's just me that's going through this circumstance. It's men that were also born into sin, that were born in the flesh, that walked with God, that had a close relationship with God, that went through these very same trials that we go through today. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. He gives us grace to walk through the difficulties. And I know that every single one of us here either has walked through things or is currently going through things. Maybe it's waiting upon God's will for your life. Maybe he called you into something, but yet there's just nothing. There's silence. Maybe you're going through physical, mental, spiritual affliction and suffering. His grace is sufficient. And what I love about that is it's because it's not coming from me. It's coming from God, his word. And so we can claim that for ourselves. So the challenge I just simply want to give this morning, an encouragement, is to wait upon God, wait upon his timing. We are children of God. If we're born again into his family, we are children of a loving heavenly Father. And he'll extend that grace to us if we ask. So wait upon his timing, wait upon his will. Again, it's God's timing. It's he's never early, he's never late, he's always on time. But it's going to be his timing. And to remain, it is a challenge at times to remain steadfast in love and faithfulness to them as we go through times where it doesn't seem like he's there or that he's connected. But I would ask yourself, are we the ones not connected to him when we go through those times. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so I just want to encourage all of us that as we go through life, we will have things come up. We will have to endure struggles and affliction and things of that nature. But we need to be able to be transformed, to be refined in the furnace of affliction. And we need to be able to take comfort in that knowing that God is there. God, His grace will be there. And it's sufficient for us. So thank you for listening, and you guys can all stand. I have a word of prayer. Matt, you can make your way up. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for everyone gathered here today. Lord, we bring up our brothers and sisters in Christ over in the Middle East as they're impacted tremendously by the events that are taking place. Father, we just pray for your patience, for your encouragement, for your grace upon those people, their lives that are being changed, God. And Lord, I just lift up anybody here that is currently struggling through whatever circumstance it is, God. Just pray that you give them grace. You show them that grace that you've talked about in Corinthians, God, and we just claim that. And we just thank you for being a loving Father, for being there for us and looking out for us as we go through difficult times. And allow us to be transformed into vessels, into children that you can use so we can be effective in our prayer and our ministry. We pray your blessing on the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.